As I was pondering what to bring for a message this morning, maybe I'll just, for information, for the visitors here, I've been trying to look at do a little series, I guess you would say, on the remember commands of the Bible that we have. Verses that call us to remember something, and we've had several that I've looked at for a message, and so I was thinking of which one to go to this morning. And as I was pondering that, there Friday evening, we got news of the little boy there that got run over and lost his life, neighbor there to Ed's. Probably many of you would have heard of that. And I'd just been there to the shop where Anthony works in the morning and had a good friendly conversation with him as my alternator that I brought in was repaired. And before the day was over, I heard the sad news of what had happened. And as I thought of that, there was a verse that I was reminded of here in Psalm 89. And that is verse 47. Here's our remember verse for this morning. It says simply this: remember how short my time is. It's the first part of the verse there. Remember how short my time is. And I'd simply like to use that phrase again for our title this morning. And we're reminded of how short life is, especially accidents like that, you know, so quickly and a life is over. I think it was just last weekend I had heard of a young dad, was it perhaps from Indiana, it was from out of state anyway, that was killed as well, leaving behind a wife and family. And we marvel, we're like, wow, it seems like, you know, this young boy, this young dad, it seems to us like they would have had a long life ahead of them, but so quickly, life is over. Remember how short my time is, he says here. And I'm not totally sure in the context here if he's talking to himself, telling himself to remember, or asking God to consider this fact. It would about seem by the surrounding verses that he's possibly addressing God in these verses. I'm not sure. And begging God to, you know, remember how frail we are, how short our life is, and so on. But this morning, as we look at this, I'm planning to share it as addressing ourselves, that you and I would remember, that we would ponder, think about how short our earthly time is. Well, I was led to this psalm by just that one small phrase that we read there. And as I read this whole psalm, it's quite lengthy. I tried to get some of the context surrounding this and so on. I was just blessed by this, by the words here. There's a lot of praise throughout this psalm. Praise to God for who God is, the great things God has done and will do. The top of the page here in my Bible, it says, exalting in God's righteousness. That's what it says in my Bible. And there's much of that. There is promises, prophecies of Jesus and so on. My Bible has a star to mark those prophecies in the Old Testament, and I saw there was several of them here in this chapter. So I just thought, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at many other verses here at all, but I just thought we'd read this whole chapter this morning. I think it really really adds something as we consider our life and God's greatness. I think it helps give us perspective as we consider how short our time is here and the greatness of God and so on. Maybe before we read there, the Bible also has a heading in front of the psalm. It says, Amashal of Ethan the Ezrahite. I would understand that word Mashal to mean a contemplation. And also the man that's referred to here, I believe, was a singer of in King David's court, as I researched it anyway. And he was considered a wise man. If you do research on his name, you'll find it mentioned there in 1 Kings, I believe, in regards to King Solomon as a wise man. It refers to this man, Ethan, as one of the wise men, but Solomon was even wiser than they. So he was considered a wise man. And he writes down these contemplations. I believe it was probably in song form back in the Hebrew. Also, before we read, I'm not totally sure of the happenings or the events, you know, surrounding it that it was written in. But one commentator seemed to think that it was written during a low time of David's kingdom. You know, a time when things were just not going well. I don't know if we know that for sure. But if you look at some of the surrounding verses, it kind of seems to fit, especially toward the end. He writes of, you know, verse 46, how long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Verse 49, Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest to David? And, let's see. Verse 51, he talks about the reproach of thine anointed. So it does kind of seem to fit, like it might have been during a low point in Israel and maybe of David's time as king. Well, with that, I'll read this psalm entirely through. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab, or I believe that is referring to Egypt, in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world, in the fullness thereof, thou hast confounded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave, Selah? Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Well, I believe we could pull much out of this psalm. We could study this contemplation of a wise man for a very long time, I believe, and many thoughts, many messages, I think we could be brought from here. And there's no way we're gonna do that, look at everything this morning. Just this one thought pulled out of here. Remember how short my time is. I like to think about the words my time for a little bit. And I have four main points that I put under here as to guide our thoughts. And probably most of this is not going to be new, not a lot of new shared. But my points are these. My time is a gift. My time is short. My time is uncertain. And my time is for a purpose. And there's probably going to be a bit of overlap in thoughts in some of these. First of all, my time is a gift. Maybe we could ask, is my time really mine? I'd say maybe from a Christian point of view, we'd say, no, my time is God's. My time belongs to God. It's given to him, given to me from God. But humanly speaking, you know, yes, the time we have is ours. It's my time. You know, I don't have to use my time to serve God, right? It's my choice how I use this time. I can choose how much time I designate for certain things. I can choose what time to go to bed. What time to get up in the morning. What time to go to work. How much time I spend at work. how much time I spend with hobbies and recreations, other things I like to do. We make choices on how to spend our time, all the time. Regularly, we make choices how we spend our time. It's part of life. We work with time. We're time-oriented people, right? And it's our time. We choose how we spend it. But it's a gift. My time is a gift. God gives it to us. And there's a limited supply that we each have. And we can't make more time. It's a scarce commodity, could we say. There's only a certain amount that God has allotted to me. There's only a certain amount of time that God has allotted to you. Paul said in his message there to the people of Athens, I believe it's Acts chapter 17, he says, "Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." I think it's when we say, you know, our very breath is given to us by God every day. I think it's quite accurate. It's an accurate statement, I believe. God gives us our breath. He gives us time each day as he sees fit. Secondly, my time is short. And we see that emphasized, that brought out here, this short phrase, as well as many other places in the Bible. If you just look at the next chapter here in Psalm, chapter 90, we have that brought out as well. And he gives descriptions here in chapter 90 to illustrate that. He says our years are like a tale that's told. Just like a story, a little story, we'd say maybe. And our lives are, he compares to as grass. Grass that grows up and people mow it down and it dries up and goes to nothing. Job as well talks of this. I believe in chapter 7 he has some of these descriptions. He says, "My life is like the wind," is one description. He also says, "It's like the cloud that soon vanishes away." In verse 6 of chapter 7 of Job, he says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Maybe that illustration is a bit foreign to us. And I don't think I would understand how those machines worked, but I believe it was a part that moved back and forth, and it was quite fast. Job said that's what his life is like, just that fast, and life is gone. James chapter 4 as well. James says there, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." My point is, my time is short. Remember how short my time is. Thirdly, my time is uncertain. And like I already said, we reckon with that fact, especially after accidents like we just talked of. A little one-year-old lad gone. A young father, church leader, gone. My time is uncertain, he says. Or that's the point here. David says in Psalm 31, verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." My times are in thy hand. And we're reminded again that life is given to us by God, and that God has control over our life from beginning to end. You know, we each had a day we were born, and our life began. But for each of us, unless the rapture takes place first, you know, our life is going to have an end. And none of us knows when that will be. And as we have example and have seen, you know, age doesn't really make a difference. Our time can be up any time. Fourthly, my time is for a purpose. Now, I didn't comment yet much on the last part of verse 47. But he says, "Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" Now, I'm not sure what all he meant by that, or it's given in question form. But you know, it seems about like he was questioning, you know, why are we here? What purpose is life? Are men here for no reason? Is it just a vain thing, God? And you know, I think there's times we have questions like these. You know, what am I here for? God, what does God want me to be doing? Is this the place where I'm at? Is that really where God wants me? Am I filling the plan? Is this the plan that God has for my life? I think we probably all have questions at some point in our life like some of these. But you know, I think with the help of God's word, the help of other Christians, I think at some point we really need to conclude that yes, there is a plan for my life. God has a plan for me. He has a purpose for me in my life and everyone else's that's living. You know, it might be a different plan than what I had in mind. Actually, most likely it is, I would say. At least that's how I find it. But there is a purpose for my life. My time here is for a purpose. And of course, I believe as we want to follow God and His will, that we want to fill that purpose. We want to fill that place in life wherever He's placed us. My time is for a purpose. And if you want to read Psalm 139 sometime, that should impress you with that fact. I believe there it says that God knows all about us. He knew all about us before we were born, it says there. My time is for a purpose. Well, as we think of this phrase here, remember how short my time is. You know, as Christians, what should our response be? As we look at these facts about our earthly time, the realization that our time here is short-lived, that it's given to us by God, it's unknown when our time will be up. Some of those things. What should that do for us? Well, I believe it should inspire us this morning and every day to want to use our time wisely, should it not? Use our time doing things of value for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We find the phrase, Ephesians 5, I believe it is, and also Colossians 4, uses the phrase, redeeming the time, redeeming the time. That's what we want to do with our time. I believe the Amplified Version would say it this way, making the very most of the time. And I like to talk some here about ways I believe we do just that. Make the very most of the time. How do you and I do that? How do we best use this little slot of time that God has allotted to you and I? You know, as I thought of that, you know, employers, they look at that all the time, don't they? How they can best use, you know, their employees in the most efficient way to get work done the most efficiently. Maybe a certain employee has strengths in this area and can do this job very well. And other employees have their strengths and weaknesses as well. And employees, I believe, look at this as well, at least they should. You know, how can I as an employee effectively serve my boss? How can I be effective, use my time that would best help the cause of the business here I'm working for? And you know, really, it should be the same for us as servants of Jesus Christ. Not, you know, we're here laboring for Jesus Christ. And believe how we spend the time he's given to us How we spend the time for him should be of utmost importance to each one of us, should it not? Redeeming the time. I have a couple things under that heading. Using our time in ways that honor Jesus Christ. And maybe my points here are a little bit random this morning, not necessarily in order of importance or anything like that. But the first one I have is one, I believe you've probably heard it before. I saw it on a church sign once and it kind of stuck with me. But it said simply this: time spent with God is never wasted time. Time spent with God is never wasted time. And I'm talking here about my personal time alone with God. Quiet time with God, reading the Word, letting His Word speak into my life, and also my prayer life, pouring my heart out to God, giving Him praise, thanksgivings, asking for help. My time with God. Do I give it priority? You know, you just can't go wrong spending time with God. It's never wasted. And if you're like me, you need some of those reminders every now and again. You know, we're so quick to, you know, rush off to work. And we got all these things we got going. We have these other pursuits that are so important to us. How quick are we to cut short our time with God? How much time do I spend with God, reading His Word and prayer? Is it valuable to me? Is it a priority to me? And I admit to you that I personally need reminders like this in my own life. I need to be challenged to place more priority on quality time with God and His Word. I had a friend one time, maybe some of you even know him, and I don't know what the conversation was, but he said something like this to me, and it kind of stuck with me ever since. He said, you know, if you read the Bible only 15 minutes each day, you know, if that's the amount of time you take for your devotional life, you know, it really only adds up to like an hour and a half a week, something like that. And I was challenged by that. You know, how much time do I invest each day with God's Word and prayer? Do I see it as an investment? You know, I usually don't have any problem spending time with things I like to do, right? You know, whatever it is. Things we enjoy, we're willing to spend much more than an hour and a half a week, you know, working at some of those things. But how about my time with God? I believe it's Martin Luther that had quoted once. At this quote, he says, "Work, work, from morning until late at night. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer." And maybe that seems a little extreme to us. And we know that God needs us to get off our knees, get out there and get to work sometimes. But I think it does, in fact, illustrate a point, doesn't it? That probably most of us need to be reminded to spend more time with God and not less. Time spent with God is never wasted time. Another thing I'd like us to think about here is investing time in others. Investing time in others. And you know, we have no better example than Jesus himself, I believe. You know, his life, his whole ministry, his time on earth was about this very thing. You know, helping people, serving, teaching people, healing people, physically or spiritually. That's how Jesus spent the majority of his earthly time, I believe. And you know, I believe as Christians that should be our focus as well. You know, these two things we talked about, God and others, they're the most important things, right? In Mark Mark 12, I believe it is, we have that story. The scribe that came to Jesus, he said, Jesus, what is the first commandment of all? I think this time this scribe was a sincere one. And Jesus had the reply, the right answer, you know, right away. He replied, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and so on. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, there is none other commandments greater than these. Well, that was Old Testament law, I believe. They knew it well. The scribe was well-versed in that, I'm sure. But you know, that didn't change. That didn't change from Old to New Testament. That's foundational in the New Testament as well. These two things, to love God first of all, to love my neighbor next of all, are still the most important things in life. And I appreciated that the practical discussion there in Sunday school in relating to our neighbors is very good. Investing time in others. You know, relationships take time. They just do. Marriage relationships take time. Family and children take time. Other people in the workplace and you know, others we meet out and about, it takes time. And I believe we could spend a lot of time talking about details in every one of these. We don't have the time here this morning for that. But you know, all of these relationships suffer if we don't give them time. Just plain and simple, people take time. Are we okay with that? As a Christian, are you okay with that? I think if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be following Christ, you need to be okay with that. See, that's what Jesus' life was all about. It was about people. It was about serving people. It wasn't about building a business or a farm or a bank account or whatever else, you know, people work for in life. And many, probably all of those things have their place. But is that my focus? Is that my focus? Are they what take my time in the other people, you know, the other people that I meet, the other relationships? Do they get in the way? They get in the way because they take time away from my farm or business or whatever it may be. Want us to think about what's important. What's important to you? What's important to me? Are people and building relationships a priority to you? You know, I believe it needs to be if we're going to be of any use in the kingdom of God, in His work. And it takes time to tell people about Jesus. You know, you need to take time for friendly conversation and so on many times. Do you care about those people you meet? You care about, you know, the ones you meet at work and so on? Or are they just another grouchy, hard-to-please customer? Or a fellow worker that's just hard to get along with? Can I see beyond these things? Can I see a person, a soul that needs the Lord Jesus? I don't want to be too harsh this morning or blunt, but, you know, I just want to say that sometimes I think as conservative Anabaptist people, we don't always do so well in this. And we get so involved in my job, my farm, or business, and so on, and getting it just right, and so on. And when someone else tramples on that, or gets in the way, so to speak, we tend to forget what's more important. People are much more important than earthly things. Relationships take time. We're talking about investing our time in others. And I already mentioned marriage. You know, husbands, wives, invest your time in your marriage relationship. And probably us men need that that admonition the most? And how many marriages, you know, have suffered or fallen apart because husband or dad, he was just putting all his energy into building the business and work and so on. Also, if God has called you to be a parent this morning, invest time in your children. Remember, you know, our children are among the few things that we can impact for eternity. Remember that. We can't take this earthly stuff along with us when we go. But you know, with God's help, we can help influence a generation toward heaven, can we not? And as I was thinking about that, you know, investing time in our children, I don't know how many of you get the broadcast that Brother Sim puts out, the morning song broadcast, I guess it would be. But I think it was one that was sent out back in Father's Day, around Father's Day. It wasn't a familiar song to me, but it went something like this. At least several of the verses, it said, "Do we take enough time for our children, dear brother? And teaching and praying with them and so on." And it went on to say how we get so busy trying to make that extra dime to the neglect possibly of our children. And then later on in life, we have that extra dime, so to speak. But, you know, the time of our influence, you know, and the time we could have spent with them is over. It's gone. And I was challenged by that. Remember how short my time is. Parents, dads especially, take note. Your children take time, and parents, you know that well. Time invested in teaching, playing with them, just taking time to listen and so on, I believe it'll be time well spent. It won't be wasted time, I believe. This morning, put relationships and people ahead of things and money, whatever we could put in there. You know, I think it's just among one of the saddest things when people get this backwards and put money or possessions ahead of relationships and especially in family. And I can think of a situation there in community where I grew up, that the father passed away and the children just started fighting, couldn't get along, fighting over the property and so on. And they all had their lawyers working against each other on this case. I say that is just sad when people put things of earthly value ahead of relationships that are without value, that are really priceless. No property or inheritance and so on is worth a ruined relationship, my friends, this morning. And I wish I could say such things never come close to us as God's people. But moving on here in closing, how do I use the time God has given me? We have 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in each of those. How do I spend that? Some verses here in Luke 17, I'd just like to turn to that. It stood out to me here recently as I was reading through this. I want to wrap this up here. Just a couple of verses here. Luke 17. Start reading at verse 26 here. Jesus talking, and he says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." What stands out to me here in these verses? Well, What stands out to me is I see people here in the days of Lot and Noah putting a lot of energy into some of these things, buying, selling, building, and so on. And they're things that Jesus says is going to be typical of the last days. And it sounds, as I read this, it sounds about like us Americans. You know, we're busy. We're buying and selling. We're building. And all kinds of commerce, you know. But what I really see here is, I don't think those things are wrong in and of themselves. Not at all. And I believe we need to balance this. I need to balance my thoughts here with the call that Jesus gave to occupy. We are called to stay busy. We are called to work. But I see things mentioned here that have little eternal value. That's what I want to bring out here. And I challenge us this morning, what about me? What about my time? Is my time and energy spent solely on these things? Solely on things that have little eternal value? I just want us to think about that. Or are we trying to invest our time on things with eternal value? Remember how short my time is. Well, how am I? How are you doing? How are we using our time today? And let's bear in mind that someday we'll all give account. We'll all have to answer for how we used our time. And I trust this morning I'm talking to people who are interested in redeeming the time and using it for God's glory and to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.